not just my fault. Bill Houston, if you grab these papers right down here, maybe a couple of the guys can help you. I'm going to pass out some notes for you to take this morning. 233-305, you can head out with the young bloods. These, if you get one per family, guys, and it's, I think they probably have enough for one for everybody if they want one. And I'll be passing those out. You can turn to Psalms 119. Read two passages of scripture that are very familiar to you. And also while they're doing that, the church has a credit card that we purchase things with, pay bills with, things like that, because they give us kickbacks for that. It's nice to be able to have a variety of things. Anyway, on that, we get money from that they pay us to manage their credit card type of thing. And why do I need to know that? Well, because the new platform chairs you're sitting up here was paid for by that money, by and large. And we're grateful for that. We just had it sitting aside until we could find just what we needed. And for those of you ladies out there that are going, I'm not sure that that goes really good with the berry. I don't know. But eventually, we'll be able to get a new platform right here. That or mine will probably be just right over here with the curly hair. So anyway, that's where those are, because I know you're just dead curious about that. And you have asked me many, many times over the next little while. So. Okay, we've been in a series on the heart of the matter, or specifically dealing with child rearing. And many times when you talk through a variety of situations, people say to me, okay, well, if we're supposed to turn our children's heart back to the Word of God, if we should give them scripture verses of things that they, when they disobey or when they do something wrong or whatever, if we're supposed to not just say because mom and dad said so, but because the Word of God said so, where are all those verses? Where do we get those and so forth? So this morning, I'd like to give you these things. Now, the difficulty of this morning is you already know how many points I have. And yes, it's 17. And yes, my second service message has 14. So yes, if you can do the math, I'm going to cover a lot of material today with humility, okay? But we're not going to camp on these a lot. Now, in case you're thinking, oh, I don't have kids at home, so it's not a problem. Can I just tell you that God doesn't put things in your life just like He doesn't put them in your children's life? And these are great things for you to go by as well. And I'm not going to have you turn to every one of these passages of Scripture. I have them written out so that I can read them quickly as we work through this a little bit this morning. So let's read Psalms 119, verses 9 to 11. You're familiar with this. But wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Okay. So what is the soap that cleanses someone from sin? Specifically, it says in this passage, the Word of God. Right? The Word of God cleanses. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, wait a minute. So not only is this a, if you will, a soap that cleanses from those sins, but it also is a blocker from those sins. Okay? So wouldn't it be great if we had a soap that we could wash all over the left and block all the bitterness and all that kind of stuff? I'm just done. We're not going to get any infections, anything, right? The Word of God says that when we apply it, we cleanse ourselves by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And the Word of God have I hid in my heart, what, that I might not sin against God. And of course, you're familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It's the Word of God that keeps us from the wrong things. It corrects us. It reproves us. It does those things in our hearts and lives. I've had people say to me, okay, what else? There is no what else. If you want your life cleansed, and if you want victory over sin, the only thing that will do that is the Word of God applied to your life consistently. That's it. There is no other solution. There is no other magic pill, if you will. You're like, well, I'm not very good at reading. Get good at it. That's just the truth. It's better. I can't memorize. You know what? I bet you can memorize things that you want to memorize. My is messaging across them. Are there some of us that struggle harder with memorization than others? Yes. Are there some people that struggle more with reading than others? Yes. But God says you must be in the Word of God. You must be. All the time.
And you say, well, Pastor, he didn't get down all the time.
Get used to it. I want to keep reading it. Because it is the deal. Okay? And I've said this before as well, but if you come into our office, I don't care what problem you come into our office for, probably before long I'm going to ask you, how's your personal walk with God? Because if you're not willing to get in God's Word every day, there's not a whole lot I can do for you. And I'm not saying I don't care about it, but I'm just telling you that's the solution. Two, our kids will not always be under our authority. Therefore, we must demonstrate and teach accountability to God's authority. Depending where you are in parenthood, that may seem like a really, really long ways away. But it ain't. It will be only before you know it. Okay? For those of you that have been around me in the world a really long time, my kids were 6, 4, and now quite 2 when we moved here. They've got kids older than that now. I think I owe some intervention too. That's because Caleb was born here. And he wasn't here yet. It happens quickly. Okay, Paul Chapman, in his book, A Firm Foundation, says, your children need to know that the Bible is a priority in your life. They need to see you read it and hear you talk about it. They need to model to them a faithfulness to the Word of God. It's interesting. Our son, Caleb, sends a weekly video to his mom and I on Friday morning, which we love. Tells us about his week and so forth. One of the really neat things that's happening is he is discipling a man in his church. And it is thrilling to watch the journey from Caleb's perspective as he just says, this happened today, and I'm on my way to meet with this guy. And as a result of what's happened in this guy's life, he's beginning daily getting God's Word. And as he daily gets in God's Word, his wife watches him do that every day. And now Caleb's wife, Hannah, is discipling her, and she's basically said to Hannah, I watch my husband every morning getting your book. And I want that. That's what our children need. Our children need to see. Like, wait. God says when we pray, we are in our closet. And if we're in our closet, nobody sees us. I want you to listen to me closely. God is dealing with motives there, not a literal closet. If you want proof of that, in that same passage of Scripture, he says, let your good works be seen of men, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? So you can't be in a closet and be seen of men. So the point is, Jesus was dealing with the Pharisaical attitude of standing on the street corner saying, hey, I'm going to pray now. I want everybody to watch me pray and see how spiritual I am. That's really what Jesus is dealing with. He's not saying that you should not model the Word of God in front of your children and grandchildren and so forth. So you need them to see this. It's interesting. A number of weeks ago, the Woodbeckers sent me a copy of a couple of pages from a book called Joseph of the Men of Integrity and Forgiveness. And the reason they said it, they said, I don't know if you can use this in your children's series right now, but they said, these are pretty phenomenal. They gave some interesting stats. The difference between discipline problems in 1940 versus 1990, according to public school teachers. Okay? So 1940, here's what the major infractions were. Talking out of turn, chewing gum, making noise, running the halls, cutting in line, dress code violations, and loitering. That was 1940. 1990, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, rape, robbery, assault. 50 years. That's from public school students. That's just from their perspective of what they're dealing with. In other words, a kid chewing gum in class is going to be either really the problem we're dealing with, or talking to kids robbing each other. You know, it's pretty amazing. So we need to put them back in accountability with God's Word. Okay.
fun pretty quickly, and figure out what God does and won't, but this will help you a little bit, hopefully. Here, so, number one, God loves obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account, that they may be a jewel and not with grief, and as unprofitable for you, Hebrews 13, 17. Romans 13, 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Did you get that? I will stop you for that. Don't you listen to me closely. Okay? God is still sovereign. And he sets up rulers and he takes down rulers regardless of whether there's election fraud or not election fraud. Did you hear that? I'm amazed at the Christians who think God must not be on the throne anymore. Shame on you. Is there potentially some election fraud? Probably. Has there been in other elections? You ought to go back and do some studying. This ain't nothing compared to what some of them are. You ought to go back and look at some of the political machines that have operated out of Chicago in the 1940s and some of that kind of stuff, okay? So yes, but here's what we stake our hope in. We stake it in God. He sets up rulers and takes down rulers. Can you overcome election fraud? Yep. Do I really believe Joe Biden's going to be president of the United States? Yep. Do you believe that God put him in power? Yep. I do. Why? Because that's what his word says. And do I submit to him? Yes. Do I pray for him? Yes. Just like I've done the others. Yes, absolutely. And by the way, your children are watching you on this too. Okay? So it's really important. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever will resist the power resists the ordinance of God. That's really important for us to understand. So, therefore, I will not allow disobedience. I'm just not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow it in my children or my grandchildren. I'm not going to allow it in my own life. Because that's important for me to model for them. Number two, God requires respect for authority. Now, I have a little more meaning on that. If we obey, isn't that the same as respect? No, it's not. Think about the little sign who said, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. Okay, and God's word deals with this. In verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 6, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment promise. Again, we get back to the passage of Hebrews 13. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves to the watch for your soul. We get back to that passage again in Romans chapter 13. It refers to not only obedience, but submission there, an honor aspect. So I'm going to have respect for authority, and I'm going to teach that to my children. Therefore, we do not allow a rebellious attitude or disrespect. Can I just, again, this, I'm going to get totally political today, but let me just tell you something. It's not funny when you tell a joke about a leader that God has placed in position. I've heard people say things like, you know, we were on the highway and everybody blew down the gas and people said, we're collecting gas to burn up the president. That's not funny. They're honoring authorities. And you are to respect them because of their position. Do I agree? No. Now, we don't agree because he's a Democratic president. No, I don't agree with even Republican presidents. There are plenty of stuff I don't agree, but God doesn't say agree and then obey and respect. Again, we teach our children this because it's important for them to see. Now, it's very Christian, by the way, submission, means I don't agree with some things. That's what submission is, and that's part of the process. Number three, God requires patience. This is what I actually have one up here, and I didn't realize that. I was thinking about it, so you agree with me, but I'm not saying it on here. God requires patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-hearted. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. James 1 and verse 4, let that patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. we should dimly realize. Many years ago, God made me a canine in my own life, how impatient I was. And this is how he did it. He's like, okay, you're in a circumstance here, and you're frustrated. Why are you frustrated? Well, I'm like, I guess I'm frustrated because things aren't going my way. Right, that's why you're frustrated, because things aren't going your way. And I'm like, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? God had my way, right? I grew up Anglican, and you never have those conversations with higher kids. Like, and I'll be like, that means that I'm impatient in this situation because it wasn't going exactly how I wanted it, and that's a problem. It's not only a problem, it's sin. Thanks, Pastor. Impatience is sin. God tells us he wants us to be patient. And boy, we're not. Stay at the red light, and if your foot got hit the accelerator, the moment it turns green, somebody behind you honk. Then that's when my flesh wants to just sit there for a little bit. Like, you know, well, again, that's not good to do either, right? But we don't allow these kind of kids. We don't allow them to be impatient. Kids, generally, not all of them. We got some that are just born mellow. But very few, right? they come out of the womb being impatient, right? Ask a mama at 2 o'clock in the morning when they want something to eat. They want it. And either you get it, or the whole house is going to know about it eventually, right? It's like, they don't just go, it ratchets up, right? They're like, I'm wanting the bottle, or whatever the hell you, I'm getting it, and you're like, look, I'm coming, okay? Why, we're born that way. Women, we generally are much more impatient, right? We all of a sudden get hungry and we want food now. Like now. You know? Not like tomorrow, not now. You know, but maybe we gotta be careful with that. Okay, number 4. God wants self-control. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to speak to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is of hasty spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than a mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 25 and verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. One of my favorite verses to use is in particular one of my four children. I won't tell you which one he is. Okay, number 4, self-control, right? What does God say? If we do not have self-control, we're just like a defenseless city. In other words, those who do not exercise self-control are wide open to attack in all kinds of areas. In other words, this is dealing primarily with our attitude. So what does God not want then? He doesn't want unrestrained anger. Unrestrained anger. He doesn't want temper tantrums. He doesn't want prolonged self-pity. What do you mean prolonged self-pity? Unless you are a real, real exception to the rule, then we all have pity parties. It's just a matter of how long they last. How long we fully correct our thinking into, this is really not about you. What do you mean you don't think you deserve that? It's correcting that. And we've known adults who have prolonged the self-pity parties. And it's like, and we say to them many times, you're acting like a three-year-old. What do we mean by that? Well, we understand when a three-year-old who's got a self-pity get what they wanted. So therefore, they're going to walk around the house. Everybody disappointed in them or so forth, you know? They want to make sure you know they're disappointed with your decisions. Many ladies have you ever been there with your mate? They might not actually tell them disappointed, but they'll know it before the day's out. What are you doing? A pity party. That's right. That's really what it is. Okay, so self-control, attitude issues. All right, number 5. Number 5, says, Billy Nicholson, consider her ways and be wise, was paid a guide, overseer, or ruler, provided for meat, her meat in the summer, and gave us her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O slumber? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep, and a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep? Surely shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs 15:19, Lo, the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God says, I want diligence. I don't want people not to be enthusiastic about the work. Do we always love the work? No. We're not going to allow in our children or in our own lives a laziness or a nonchalant disinterest in things. And that's a good case of discipline as well. Like, well, I'm not very good at math. Okay? But what does that have to do with it? That might mean I have to work a little bit harder at it. But it doesn't mean that I just don't care about it anymore. I've got to actually show some interest in it. Isn't it a shame today that by and large, a person at a job is going to advance at that job if they show up on time and work hard? Period. That's it. That's it. If you do those two things, you're gonna advance. And it's like, wow, that's a cool little skill, isn't it? In the process, we want to teach our children that they should not have a rebellious attitude or disrespect. Not have laziness or nonchalant disinterest. All right, number six, kindness. Ephesians 4:32, and being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So therefore, number six, I'm not going to allow rudeness. I'm not going to allow rudeness. Again, that's something today in our society. All you got to do is drive away a little bit. Go to Walmart. Go anywhere, really, and you figure out that people are just rude. I'm amazed at people on highways today. Literally, what would you want me to do? There's a concrete wall here and a semi here. What are my options? You know? But they want you out of their way. Like, get out of my way right now. And I'm actually doing a speed limit. Well, that's pretty God shame too. You shouldn't be doing that. Like, look, if I want to stop the car and say, see, this is this, or whatever, but dude, you're speeding. That's what, you know? Allow rudeness. Can I tell you, there's never a time to be rude. There's never a time to be rude. There are some times we need to be firm. There are some times when we say, wait a minute, that's the wrong thing to do, or whatever. In a store or whatever, it's appropriate for me to say, look, this was not treated right, you know? But it's never good for us to be rude to people. I remember a number of years ago, we would take youth trips or whatever, and we went on a mission trip to Florida. We helped a church plant there, and worked at a VBS, and generally, you guys, some of those who have been around know this, when I took a trip like that, I wanted to reward the kids if they had worked hard. And so this particular trip, on our way back, we stopped at St. Augustine, Florida. We did a dolphin cruise that day, which was really kind of cool, because our credit card company called and said, hey, we've done your work on your credit card, saying that this much money was spent on the cruise. And I said, actually, I'm standing on the boat. And she's like, oh, enjoy. And it's like, but now we're going to take them to Red Lobster, so they're at a nicer restaurant or whatever. And so I called ahead and said, hey, we got a group of, I don't remember how many or whatever. And he said, hey, no problem with the accommodation. He said, but we automatically charge this much gratuity. And I said to him, I understand that, but here's one caveat. I said, in the past, when we've done that, our kids have been treated rudely because the way they already knew they had their ticket, it didn't matter. And I said, so, will you give me the privilege of pulling that tip if your servers aren't kind to my kids? And he said, absolutely. We had great service that night. I wasn't rude. I was firm, but I wasn't rude. There's no sense in us being rude with that. Or conversely, we want to instill in them courage and confidence. Courage and confidence. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid.
play. You need to be down the street. So the Lehigh God is with you. Go to Sherburn on Dulles.
Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9.
2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
In other words, we should teach our children to be courageous, to be confident. I'm not talking about cocky, okay? But I am talking about confident in what God is. Therefore, we will not allow fear and timidity. We're not going to allow that. We have natural fears. We do. We talked about those in the fear study. It's what we do with those natural fears that matters. Do I allow it to just absolutely paralyze me? Or do I say, wait a minute, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a power and a love and a sound mind. Therefore, I can do this thing. This may be way outside my comfort zone. I'm going to ask you, let you think a little bit, all right? How many of you in this room, God has ever asked you to do something that you were uncomfortable with? Raise your hand. God's ever asked you to do something you were uncomfortable with? Hello? I can guarantee it. God's going to ask us to get out of that which we just like, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'd like to just stay right here in this nice little... No. God's going to push us. And we need to push our children and grandchildren. Oh, they're just not comfortable doing that. Okay? So? There's going to be lots of things they're not comfortable doing at times. I've heard guys say to me, well, I'm not very comfortable standing up in front of people and talking. And I understand that. God's not gifted everyone to be a pastor. But can I tell you something? He has gifted you to be a dad if you're a children. And you need to lead those kids. That means you're going to lead the floor for you and make the decisions. Hopefully you're not someone who can deflect all those decisions to someone else. You're supposed to be the leader in that, okay? I'm going to quickly go through these, okay? It's getting late. So I'm not going to take the time to read every one of these passages of Scripture. I would encourage you to do so. Number 8, God wants happiness and joy. No complaining and a thankful attitude is what we're just not going to allow those things, okay? So what are we not going to allow? We're not going to allow depression, complaining, and negative attitude. Please understand, I'm not talking about a clinical type depression. There's certainly some of that out there, okay? But we're not going to let them intentionally walk around with a melancholy mood just because they want to be, okay? Then you say, wait a minute, Pastor, wait. Happiness and joy are two different things. I don't know what about they are. They're used interchangeably in the Word of God, okay? We distinguish them to be two separate things, but they're used interchangeably in the Word of God. Alright, well, God would rather us be holy than happy. How many wants us to be holy and happy? Alright, great. I mean, okay, so it makes me more holy to walk around with a grumpy look on my face. No. And how many of you are attracted to that? We're not attracted to that. Have you ever seen a billboard advertising a product with someone looking like that? No. What do they always have on their face? A smile. Happiness. Whatever they... Whether they're paid for it or not, it's always great. Who would they be to pay me a lot of money to hold a V8 can in my hand and say, well, this is good stuff? Now, I would do it for a certain amount of money. I'm just saying, they wouldn't do it because out of the goodness of my heart. Yeah, I know. I am blue. You say it was good stuff. Kevin, I knew there was multicultural with you. I have another one. Number 9. This is appropriate, right there, Kevin? A love for others. So number 9, God's not going to allow us to be critical. Well, listen to me, okay? I'm not saying that we can't give constructive criticism. Sometimes it's good to walk into someone and say, hey, can I help you with something? But that's different than being critical. Okay? I can tell you that no matter what you do in life, no matter what you look at in life, there'll be things to criticize. They're just going to happen. But don't allow a critical attitude to happen. If your family consistently crucifies people at your meals, you're in trouble. On all kinds of points, you're in trouble. Might someone actually be wrong? Yes. Might it be that we need to actually take a stand in some areas lovingly? Yes, there are some times when we need to do that. But don't allow a critical spirit. Number 10, ability to
boys in the room, but they want the one that kid has in his hands. What about the other 39? Didn't matter the other 39. I want that one. And then that kid goes, oh, okay, you can have this kid. Pick up another one. Guess which one this kid wants now? That one that you have.
Aren't we like that too? Why do they advertise on television? Products. Way overpriced products.
And you deserve. You want God? Yeah.
Right. So you can pay triple the amount of money for that particular product. I was like, this is crazy. 11. God requires honesty. We're going to speak truth with his neighbor. Therefore, we don't want to allow lying, cheating, or stealing. Not to happen. Matter of fact, and I want to circle this, but put a star by it. We double discipline for this in our home. You say, why? Because this one, more than anything else, is a direct attack against the character of God. Now, what do you mean by that? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what is the devil? He's the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of them. So this one particular, all of them you can make some arguments about, but this one directly goes against the very core nature of God himself. We double discipline for this one in our home. We want honesty. We don't allow lying or cheating or stealing. There's tons of stuff we could talk about here. I was probably, I'm going to guess I was 7. That's a guess. And I stole some candy from a store. You're saying, oh, bless your heart. You didn't know better. Yes, I did. I absolutely knew better. My conscience had justified the fact that it was an open package. And it was opened. Okay? But I still stole it. And let me tell you why I knew it was wrong. Because I hid it in my pocket when I walked out of the store. And then I climbed underneath a trailer that my daddy had in his yard to eat it. If I didn't think it was wrong, I could have walked out with it in my hand and eaten it in front of my dad. But my dad found out. I don't know how. But God just told him, I guess. So not only did I not get to eat the candy, not only did I have to take it back to the store. And back in those days, you remember, if you remember grocery stores, they used to have in the center of the store this high place where the manager was standing. To a little boy, it looked like it was 40 feet in the air. I just asked my dad about this store last time they were here, and I said, Daddy, did you call this guy ahead of time? He said, I did. I bought a high fall, so, all right? The guy didn't give me any break, and he didn't come down and talk to me. He didn't squat down. I had to look up at him. I think it was Mr. Blair. I was like, he said, what do you need? I said, I stole this candy from your store. But I'm going to tell you, it could have kicked me in the gut. And not only that, but I had to take my bottle collection and pay for the candy. So I had to return the candy and be able to keep it. I had to apologize to the store manager, and I had to pay for the candy. You're like, what a cruel daddy. I know. It's been 40 plus years ago, and I hadn't forgotten it. I'm glad my dad did that. The next time I thought about stealing something, I thought, you know what? I don't think I want to stand before a woman. Not only that, my daddy kind of set the rule in his house. That the first time you did it was one thing, the second time was a totally different. And the third time, okay, the punishment just ratchets up. Honesty. Number 12, wisdom and knowledge. We're not going to allow ignorance and a lack of education. Two things. Now, I'm not saying that every kid has to go to college and all that kind of stuff, but we're not going to glorify ignorance. There's no point to that, okay? Do we have some children in our homes that are much more difficult to learn than others? Yes, absolutely. I had kids in my home that they literally did not have to study, and they made straight A's. The other kids could study for hours and hours and hours and barely make a C. Who's that up to? That's up to God, okay? But we're not going to be intentionally ignorant about it. Right? We're not going to allow that because God tells us to value wisdom and knowledge. Number 13, God says we value purity. Therefore, we're not going to allow perverted thinking or wrong information about sex even. I'm going to control that. But Bob Christensen and I talked about this yesterday. We did not have internet in our home until my son graduated high school. Now,
tell children about these things?
You.
You're like, well, I don't think they know anything about it.
Because my daddy would say, what kind of truck did you fall off of yesterday? That kind of gives a way of learning about it. Get it to them from a biblical perspective, okay? Cruelty, friendliness. Therefore, we're not allowed shyness.
Number 15, dependability. Loyalty, responsibility, and faithfulness. You see there in that. Therefore, we're not allowed irresponsibility.
My kids got sick and tired of me. I used to sing a favorite song to them.
Which, singing is a problem to begin with. But they, I would always sing the song, finish the job, get it done. And they'd be like, I need to get the job done. I know. That's what responsibility is. What you're supposed to do. Finish the job. We're not going to allow irresponsibility. Number 6, God requires of us servanthood. Therefore, we are not allowed selfishness. Teaching them to serve others. At what age?
From the very beginning.
But, wait a minute. I'm not sure a one-year-old can understand about serving and selfishness and all that.
Really?
Put them in a room and watch them snatch a toy out of somebody else's hand and say, mine! When they can say that, it's time for them to learn.
I know you guys are going to think I'm an ogre. Not an ogre, an ogre, okay?
But if a kid did that, they lost that toy for quite a while. They didn't get the toy. They didn't just get disciplined. They didn't get the toy. It's not going to happen.
Okay, number 17. Glory in all things.
God says, whether it's when you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, all to the glory of me. Because I'm the best in the world there is. Because I deserve the best. Because after all, it's all about me. That's not what God says. You're all to the glory of God.
Therefore, we're not allowed pride. We're not allowed pride. I said to you a couple of weeks ago that Brother David Bennett taught our family early on that he disciplines more for attitude than actions. And it's so hard to do that. How do you diagnose pride? Well, for most of us, it's pretty easy. Because we see it in others instead of ourselves. Right? But pride is something we can deal with. You're like, well, I don't know for sure that they were proud, but you could say that they demonstrated pride. They had a proud spirit. They had a proud attitude about them. And we're not going to allow that because it's disgusting to God. Pride is. Okay, so this gives you a huge list. It's not everything. Certainly there are other things. But boy, if all our families and our homes had these characteristics in their life, what different children would be. These are things God wants for us as well. It's important for us. Father, thank you for your word. We need it so much. Help us to rear our children exactly like you want us to in a nurture and admonition of you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll dismiss to Sunday school. Don't forget about the various changes that we've moved around. Ladies class, going to gymnasium, men's class here in Basilica.